Welcome back to the deep dive. You know how we do it. You give us the source material, and we dig in to find the core knowledge. And today, it's actually, well, it's fascinating because the sources you provided, they really boil down to just one single statement. Very concise.
Yeah, it's pretty unusual for us, isn't it? Anchoring a whole deep dive on basically one sentence. But, you know, it really functions like a conclusion, a solid finding, not just some theory to kick around.
Right.
And the material today, it's all focused on that that intersection of big events, consumer style, specifically festival fashion.
And that one distilled conclusion, the main takeaway from everything you shared is this. Social media influencers shape festival fashion trends. Simple as that.
That's it. That is the core finding. And okay, it might sound kind of simple, maybe even obvious now in what, 2024?
Yeah, feels like we know that.
But the mission today is really to unpack the sheer weight of that verb, shape. It's active, you know? It's not just reflect or showcase.
It implies they're actually doing it.
Exactly. Causality.
Yeah.
Control, almost.
Okay, let's unpack this then. Because, I mean, if that's the confirmed finding, it means the whole way fashion trends used to work.
Mm.
That authority structure, it's basically collapsed and been totally rebuilt.
Mm.
So we need to go further than just nodding along and saying, yeah, influencers matter. We need to define what shaping actually means. Is it creating trends from scratch? Is it just speeding them up, amplifying them? What's the real power dynamic?
Well, historically, you had that very rigid system, didn't you? Top down, designers showed something, magazines picked it up.
The trickle down thing.
Right, the trickle down, often called the 6-month lag. A designer dictates a look, the big magazines amplify it, and then maybe half a year later, you'd see it hit the mainstream stores.
And that was so slow, wasn't it?
Mm.
And really exclusive. Only certain people had access or influence.
Totally.
But now our sources are confirming the whole system's gone, well, sideways, lateral. So what does that immediate sort of lateral power look like compared to the old runway shows and magazines?
Well, the key difference is the speed of validation and replication. The old way was built on scarcity, limited exposure.
Right.
The new model, the influencer model, it's all about immediate, pervasive visibility. Influencers, especially the ones working closely with fast fashion brands, they don't wait for seasons.
No, waiting up.
None. They'll wear something, maybe a whole outfit, an accessory, whatever. They test it out, they wear it, snap a picture at a festival, high visibility context, right? And boom, it's instantly pushed out to potentially millions of followers.
So when we say shape, we're really talking about influencers setting the actual blueprint, the aesthetic plan for that whole market niche, and doing it almost instantly.
Yes.
They're not just reporters saying, hey, this is cool. They're effectively dictating, this is what you need to wear.
Precisely. They're leveraging something we often call demand signaling. They create this really engaging, often aspirational content that signals to their audience, hey, this look is desirable. And at the exact same time, it signals to the retailers, this is what people want now.
Okay, so it bypasses everything.
It completely short-circuits the whole traditional design, planning, and marketing process. It's direct.
What's fascinating here, then, is thinking about the old gatekeepers. Mm. You know, before all this, if you wanted to know what people might wear at Coachella next year, you'd maybe check Vogue, right? Or see what top celebrity stylists were doing.
Mm, the established authorities.
But now, sources confirm that authority is spread out. It's distributed among thousands, maybe tens of thousands, of creators, and they have a direct line, a communication channel, straight to the consumer.
And crucially, that distribution, that decentralization, allows for incredible speed, acceleration.
Right.
In the old slow model, shaping meant maybe a big magazine doing a feature, pushing an idea over weeks, maybe months.
Yeah, a whole campaign.
In the influencer model, shaping can mean condensing the entire trend life cycle from somebody wearing it to it going viral to mass adoption, sometimes into like a 72-hour window.
Yeah.
Maybe even less. That change in speed, that velocity, that's probably the single biggest consequence of the statement we're looking at today.
The speed. Yeah. That instant feedback loop and validation.
Mm-hmm.
It completely changes the market structure. Okay, let's talk implications then. Because if we accept this statement, influencers shape festival fashion trends as a foundational truth, what does that actually mean for you, the listener, trying to make sense of modern retail, consumer habits, all that stuff?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, this mechanism, this influencer-driven shaping, it really informs almost any fast-moving consumer category you can think of, not just fashion.
Okay.
It tells you where the marketing money is going, for one. But maybe more importantly, it shows how risk is being managed or maybe shifted within the retail supply chain itself.
Okay, you mentioned marketing dollars. Can we get a bit more concrete there? Because the sources definitely imply a huge shift in where the money's being spent.
Yeah.
Where does it go now compared to, say, 5 or 10 years ago?
Right. So traditionally, you'd see massive budgets poured into, you know, big brand advertising campaigns, glossy print ads in magazines, expensive photo shoots, TV maybe.
The big broad stuff.
Exactly. Mass market awareness. Now, the spending is much more tactical. Target. If you're a fast fashion brand aiming for that festival crowd, you're probably not dropping millions on a single Vogue spread anymore.
Doesn't make sense.
Instead, you're taking those same millions, maybe even more, and you're putting them into influencer collaborations, gifting strategies, paying for posts, but aimed at a very specific group, maybe 50, maybe 100 key influencers who, you know, have the proven ability to actually sell product, like overnight.
So the investment shifts completely.
Completely. It shifts from just building general brand awareness to driving targeted immediate purchases. Conversion is the name of the game.
Which means then that retailers, they aren't waiting for quarterly trend reports from forecasting agencies anymore, are they?
Not really, no.
They're watching. But like the engagement metric on an influencer specific post, is that it?
That's a huge part of it. Real-time data. Performance metrics linked directly to that influencer's content. And that, as you can imagine, has absolutely staggering consequences for manufacturing, for the whole supply chain.
I bet.
It really does. This hyper-accelerated trend cycle, it gives rise to what some people call micro-seasons. Trends that pop up and fade in weeks, not months or years.
Seasons.
And that means the supply chain has to be incredibly responsive, hyper-responsive. The sources confirm that retailers basically operate in this state of permanent readiness.
Ready for what? The next viral post?
Pretty much. They might use some predictive AI, analyzing early influencer data, trying to guess what might pop. But the really critical part is their manufacturing. It has to be flexible enough to go from seeing a viral look to having a version prototyped, produced, and shipped.
Yeah.
Sometimes within weeks, sometimes even days.
Days.
Yeah. So they're not really forecasting demand in the old sense. They're reacting to demand that's been instantly signaled by influencers.
I think that supply chain point is absolutely key here because it flips the whole traditional model, doesn't it?
Completely.
The old way was push, design something, make it, push it out, hope people buy it.
Right. Make bets months in advance.
But this new model is all pull. Wait for the influencer to generate the demand signal, then pull the product through the supply chain to meet that specific, already validated demand. It's, like you said, a reactive supply chain, just waiting for the green light from Instagram or TikTok.
And think about the risk aspect you brought up earlier. Where does the risk lie now?
Good question.
In the old system, the big risk was being stuck with warehouses full of stuff nobody wanted 6 months after you made it.
Dead inventory, yeah.
In this new system, the primary risk is not being fast enough. If your competitor sees that viral influencer look and can get their version out in 72 hours and it takes you a week, you've missed it. You've missed the entire hype cycle for that micro trend.
So speed becomes the ultimate currency. That pressure must be immense.
It is. Speed and responsiveness are everything.
Okay, but doesn't this constant acceleration, this instant copying and replication, doesn't it risk making all festival fashion look kind of the same, homogenous?
That's a really critical point. And yeah, it's definitely an implied consequence in the source material.
If only a few dozen key influencers are really shaping things at the top, does everything just converge? Are we losing that individuality, that sort of weird creative expression festivals used to be known for?
The risk of homogeneity is absolutely high. The system inherently rewards quick replication and, you know, sticking to formulas that have already proven to go viral. So yes, you can definitely see waves of very similar looks.
Right.
However, the sources also sort of hint at a counterforce. Because the cycle is so fast, there's also this constant, relentless pressure for newness. Novelty.
Uh-huh.
The influencers themselves, to stay relevant, they have to keep innovating. They have to keep throwing new ideas out there, even if those ideas get snapped up, copied, and mass-produced almost immediately.
So they're shaping the trends, but they're also forced to constantly abandon their own creations and come up with the next thing just to keep the engine running.
That's a great way to put it. They're the architects, yes, but they're also kind of trapped on this high-speed treadmill they helped create. They have to keep moving the goalpost just to stay in the game.
That's fascinating. They're both the driver and, in a way, captive to the velocity.
Exactly. Which makes understanding their specific role, their power, absolutely essential for anyone trying to analyze these markets.
Okay. Now, true to the spirit of the deep dive, we do have to acknowledge the, let's call it the elegant brevity of the source material we had today.
Mm-hmm. Very brief.
We know the core conclusion holds. Influencers shape trends. We've unpacked what shape means, looked at the speed, the supply chain reaction, the money flows.
We've definitely confirmed the what they shape trends, and we've explored the economic and mechanical how. But you're right, the sources don't give us that really granular, maybe proprietary data, like the specific metrics for a successful influencer campaign, the average conversion rate from a gifted item versus a paid post, or the exact contract details that make one influencer a true shaper and another just, you know, someone posting outfits.
Right. We don't have the spreadsheets, the specific ROI calculations.
Yeah.
But we do have that foundational truth. And for you, the listener, looking for that essential takeaway, that shortcut to knowledge.
Yeah.
Knowing this definitive power shift from magazines and runways to individual creators, that is the most critical piece for understanding how these modern consumer markets tick.
Absolutely.
But we know the power structure, even if we don't have, like, the influencers' bank statements in front of us.
Precisely. You know where the leverage point is now.
Okay, so let's wrap this up. This deep dive, working from that single sentence, it really confirms a powerful foundational fact about modern commerce, doesn't it?
It really does.
Social media influencers, they are the definitive forces. They are driving and setting the whole aesthetic for festival fashion.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't just a theory anymore. Mm-hmm. It's a clear, measurable market reality. It dictates where the money goes, how fast things get made.
Absolutely. And when you're analyzing any consumer category that moves this quickly, this conclusion basically gives you the lens you have to use. You start there. The whole fashion influence system has been decentralized, blown wide open, and the source confirms influencers are the primary architects, the most powerful players in these fast-paced, often temporary style niches.
Yeah. The mechanism is clear.
Mm-hmm.
Influencers signal, retailers react. Speed dictates success. The trend cycle runs on pure velocity, and the supply chain just tries to keep up.
Mm-hmm.
But that leads us right into that final provocative thought, something for you to chew on after we sign off.
Right. If this whole system, this trend cycle, demands constant, rapid-fire novelty, ideas that get instantly consumed, copied, and spat out by the fast fashion machine, what does that do to creativity itself?
Yeah.
Does that high-speed shaping just inherently commodify the act of coming up with something new? If a look goes from an influencer's post to being mass-produced globally in 72 hours, what happens to its meaning, its cultural resonance?
Does the festival look just become instantly disposable? Because the very architects of style, the influencers, are sort of forced by the system to abandon their creations almost the second they hit post.
Yeah.
Just to chase the next leading trend.
What does that velocity do to genuine sartorial creativity? That's the question.
A heavy thought indeed. And one that stems directly from the power dynamic, confirmed in that single sentence. Food for thought.
Definitely.
Thank you for joining us on The Deep Dive. We'll catch you next time to tear apart another stack of sources.